She stepped out of the front door of the town home in her beautiful, shimmering white bridal gown into the dark night, also shimmering in brilliant white moonlight. At 1 a.m. in the morning, all was still and quiet. It should have been a time of drinking champagne and savoring the first night of marriage with her new husband. Instead, she was fleeing for her life with little hope of escaping, short of a miracle from God. Her lovely, flowing gown with Chantilly lace and pearls over the bodice and train had blood streaks down the side. Her face, made up exquisitely a few hours before, was battered, misshapen, bruised, and bleeding. Her whole body was pummeled and sore, each move more excruciating. She pulled a suitcase behind her, gently closed the door, and stepped down to the sidewalk. She knew she should pick up the suitcase, but she had doubts about her ability to carry it. Instead, she risked the sounds of the wheels on the pavement, praying under her breath for no window shades to open. She looked around the beautifully landscaped townhomes and estates of Davenport Ranch bordering the Austin Country Club and Golf Course on the banks of the Colorado River, just south of the Pennybacker Bridge. It was a breathtaking location, beautiful and pristine, relatively new compared to many U.S. golf courses, carrying high demand for both tee times and weddings. The clubhouse, built in 1984, was prestigious, with soaring walls of glass looking out over the greens. It had also been the scene of her wedding and reception a few hours earlier. She really wanted to be married in a church, but her fiancé had insisted on the country club. And indeed, the club sparkled and shone for the ceremony and evening. Orchids stood on tabletops and careened down staircase banisters, along with white roses tucked into chair backs and babies' breath fluttering on the balconies. But now, she saw the trail of blood she had left earlier when she had made a trip to the banks of the river with her lighter suitcase containing her honeymoon clothes. She had thrown them in the river after leaving the few pieces of clothing in the grass on the banks, and a few drops of blood had fallen naturally onto the bordering grass and rocks. She hoped the trail would give the impression that she and her possessions had been tossed into the river. As she descended the steps this time, she turned left and began walking up the steep slope to the highway. She fought to keep from panicking. "What have I done?" she thought. She determinedly turned her thoughts to prayer. It seemed to take an eternity, but by focusing on each step, taking deep breaths, and praying, she moved up the hill. "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." She repeated the words to herself over and over. She slowly and painfully made it to the top of the incline. Her pain soared as she stepped onto the shoulder of the road. She paused and took several deep breaths to steady herself. Her plan was to hail a passing car and get help. But there were no passing cars. She waited and waited and waited, poised for action. How long would she have to wait before being rescued? And then, who would be willing to take her quickly away from this spot, without calling the police or an ambulance and not making a scene? Yet she kept getting the feeling she was supposed to flee. She prayed again, and go seemed to her the next best thing to do. "Lord, I don't have the strength for even composing a prayer. Please help me," she prayed silently. "Please send someone to rescue me if that's your plan. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight." Psalm 119, verse 143. "How long must I wait, O Lord?"